The words of God given to us today are Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. It is in page 322 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to be plenty, to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. Amen. Most of books on personal confessions are about miraculous recovery from critical illness, success after failure, or experiencing remarkable works of God. However, our faith and life does not gain strength from these types of personal confessions alone. There is a book with the title, I Like You. It is written by Pastor Byun-yeon Kim and is a story about his wife. The subtitle of this book is Singing Song of Solomon While in Pain. On August 2005, after Wednesday worship service and he had organized a worship hall, he turned on his cell phone. There was one voicemail. Brother-in-law, call me. My sister is in emergency room. Hurry. This message changed his life entirely. 2 days after his wife gave birth to their third child, she got into coma from cerebral infection while breastfeeding. Doctors told him that she will remain in a vegetable state even if the operation is successful. To perform an operation, custodian had to sign a consent form. He cried to God, God, I am not custodian, you are. Please help us. Operation was successful, but as doctors told him, wife remained in a vegetable state. Her brain was in healthy condition that she could understand what is being said, but could not move any part of her body. She was able to communicate only through fingers and eyebrows. 3 years from such incident, his wife had to also amputate one of her legs because of burns from a short circuit accident of an electric blanket. The first thing he does to his three children is to have them kiss his wife. If he shouts 10 kisses to mom, children runs and kiss their mom, and his wife makes a faint smile. Sometimes he tells them that he will buy their favorite food if they tell 5 funny stories to their mom. And every night, he asks children to stay close to their mom and let the first one touch her right hand, second one her left hand, and the third one her face. He finishes his book as follows. My body is so tired as to have a nose bleeding, but I am happy. I am receiving joy from taking care of enterprise that God has allowed to me as I love my wife, three children, and church. Today, I got up early in the morning and proceed before the Lord with my wife. I pray beside my wife, calling His name. I am truly happy. Some appears to live a successful life from the worldly perspective, but are not satisfied, while others appear to live a failed life but are content. Today's text tells us how we can live a content life through Apostle Paul, who appeared to have lived a completely failed life from worldly perspective, but lived as a truly content man. One of the reasons that Apostle Paul sent Philippians to Philippi Church is to thank for sending him offerings sent through Epaphroditus. So Philippians is like a receipt for offerings sent to him. These are written throughout chapter 4, verses 10 through 20, which is a very long reading. An important teaching of Apostle Paul, "Let your gentleness be evident to all, the Lord is near," ends in one verse. An important teaching on prayer ends in two verses, in verse 6 and 7. And the teaching on righteous mind and deeds ends in two verses, in verse 8 and 9. But the thank you messages are written through 11 verses. And he appeared to fail to express his gratitude directly, but rather hesitant in expressing them. In verse 10, he wrote, "I rejoice greatly," while in verse 11 he wrote, "I am not saying this because I am in need." In verse 14, he wrote, "Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles." But in verse 17, he appeared to say in opposite by stating, "Not that I am looking for a gift." According to chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians Kepa, Peter accompanied his wife in his mission trip and received funding wherever he went. Just as it was natural for soldiers not to pay for his account, farmers of vineyard take the fruit he harvested, and shepherds take the milk of his sheep. At that time, it was taken for granted that apostles and rotating Bible teachers receive food and shelter while they stay in a place and deliver the gospel, and also receive travel money for their next destination. However, Apostle Paul did not receive those supports but conducted his mission work at his own expenses. It was not to be interfered with delivering the gospel to the slightest degree. However, Apostle Paul was truly gracious to the support of people of Philippian church. In chapter 4, verse 1, he addressed them as, "My brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown." We can feel how deeply he thought about them. However, Paul wanted to tell them that he did not wait or expect for them to provide such kindness, nor did he wish to rely on them. So it appears that he was going back and forth between self-help mission work and gratitude. In other words, by thanking people of Philippi Church, he did not want to be seen as relying on men but not trusting God. So the verses became long as he tried to express his gratitude and faith at the same time. Today's verse 10 testifies as follows. "I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it." Philippi church wanted to support Apostle Paul, but they missed good opportunities. However, when they almost forgot about it, Paul was imprisoned in Roman prison, and they remembered. So through Epaphroditus, they sent offerings, and Paul was thankful about it. Through kindness and wisdom of people of Philippi church, they provided support when Paul was in need, not choosing the time they wanted to help. For the first 2 years of imprisonment, Paul was detained in his house. As such, he had to pay for rent, court fees, and needed food. But he was not able to earn money as he could not work on tent making. Philippi church which deeply understood such needs, sent offerings to Apostle Paul. There is a community called Labri, which means shelter, in Aigle, which is 40 kilometers away from Lausanne, Switzerland. Labri was started by American pastor couple Francis Schaeffer in 1955. It was right after the Second World War, and European continent was in a spiritually devastating stage. According to Schaeffer's writing, only 2 or 3 out of 50 pastors belonged to Geneva National Church believed in the Bible. Labri was started to prove that the Bible is the truth in real life. When Labri was being known to others, pastor couple Schaeffer thought it was better to purchase a house than paying for rent. If they received mortgage from bank, the cost was less than paying rent. They needed a total of $7,366 to purchase the building and pay administration fees. They needed the money in 2 months, so they started praying. The first of the 4 principles of mission and living rules of Labri is to seek funding to provide family and visitors from God, not from men. During 2 months, offerings came from 157 places. The highest amount was $225, and the least was $1. So the offerings gathered during the 2 months were $7,343.30. And in the end, because the cost was less than what had been expected, they paid $7,366 and had $3 extra. After that, never had they received money to buy a house. Every weekend, after they purchased a house, young people started to come. Support from Philippi Church when Paul was imprisoned, and then Labri needed a space to prove that the Bible is the truth in real life. God provided by moving minds of people all over the world. Like this, God knows the timing. Numerous times, Paul people of Philippi to rejoice in the Lord. He stated that now he himself rejoices greatly in the Lord. As Paul stated that he rejoices in the Lord, he used the adverb greatly. On the surface, Paul rejoices because Philippi church took care of him and sent him offerings through Epaphroditus when they knew that Paul could not do anything. However, internally, he said, in the Lord he rejoices greatly. He confessed that the source of his joy is not gifts from Philippi church, but the Lord. From the worldly perspective, what joy is there in Roman prison? Life in Roman prison must have been filled with discomfort and deficiency. Also, he was not imprisoned because he stole or deceived. However, what held his mind was Jesus Christ, whom he confessed to be most noble. Paul's confession continues as follows in verse 11. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. The external circumstance of Paul when he was imprisoned appeared to be very poor. The word in need appears again in the New Testament in Mark chapter 12, verse 44. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. In need and poverty are same words. Rich people put a lot of offerings into the temple treasury in the court of a Jerusalem temple, but the widow threw only 2 coins. However, that was everything for her to live on. There are many poor people in a relative sense. There are those whose income is not so high that they cannot have any cultural entertainment, but can purchase clothing only after a serious contemplation. Families who sleep separately between girls and boys because they have 4 or 5 children but only 2 bedrooms. Or those who have to commute through public transportation because they don't have a car. However, all of these are relative poverty. The widow was in an absolute poverty. It was poverty where she may need to eat grass or dirt because she had no food. Paul's life in prison did not appear to have been an easy one. Yet in such circumstances, he learned to be content. Content means to be satisfied with the proper amount. If the absolute amount is small, think it big to adjust it to a proper amount. And if an absolute amount is large, think it small to adjust it to a proper amount. Therefore, content means having a great inner strength. Content is the word frequently used by Stoicism scholars at that time. They thought that they could reach to a content stage through removing their desires. So they thought who can be satisfied with the least is the one who has the most. Also, they said that one could reach to a content state if they could remove emotions, whatever happens to any person. So the most frequently used phrase that they used was, I don't care. Whether a cup or dish is broken, they said, I don't care. When dogs, horses, or other animals died, they said, I don't care. When they themselves got hurt, or even if their family members died, they would say, I do not care. How wonderful it would be if we become content, if we only say, I don't care. But content cannot be reached by us within our inner selves, but comes from the one outside of our inner minds. Paul confesses two things that he became content as follows in verse 12. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. First, he confessed that he learned content through being in want. In want means not only mere poverty or lack of money. It is to be ignored and despised because of such situation. Paul became content, even if he was hungry or in want, that he did not feel deficiencies. Second, he confessed that he learned to be content by being in plenty. In plenty means having more than what is needed. Paul became content when he was well-fed and had plenty by internally adjusting them to a proper level. We can be in want or have plenty. When we are in want, it is easy to lose pride or lose hope that we resent people, the world, and God. Also, if we have plenty, it is easy to forget God because of those before our eyes. If we get more than we can be satisfied, it is easy to destroy ourselves, family, or society because we do not know how to live. It is difficult to become content while in want or have plenty. Most of prayers of Christians are to remove their needs and put themselves in a plenty state. They pray that if they are in a plenty state, they will obey God and serve God diligently. However, it is difficult to become content while if you have plenty than if you are in the state of in need. In the past 2 weeks newspaper article, I read a story about 10 years after a boy and a girl won a lottery. Michael Carroll won a lottery worth of £9.7 million in 2002 when he was 19. After he won lottery, he planned for a splendor life, but his plan ended like a dream. He gave approximately £4 million, which is about 40% of the prize, to his family and friends, and bought an expensive house and many racing cars with the rest of the money. From then, he got into drinking, gambling, and prostitution, and did drugs, and he went to jail 2 times. On February 2010, 8 years after he won the lottery, he was broke, that he is now living on an unemployment pension. Recently, he got hired by a biscuit factory that he barely gets by with a weekly wage of £204. Kelly Rogers won £1.875 million lottery in 2003 when she was only 16. She was the youngest to win a lottery in British history that she did not go to school or work for 10 years after. She bought a big house and expensive cars and wasted her money with lavish parties, shopping, and cosmetic surgeries. She got addicted to drugs and alcohol and tried to kill herself 3 times. Currently, she only has £2,000 in her bank account and works at a supermarket and tries to be a nurse caring for elderly twice a week. They did not know how to be content, so having plenty ruined their lives. Does any of you think that I'm happy to live only for 10 years from now on, but I just wish to spend as much as I want? If you think as such, your mind is not healthy. Earning money and money coming through are not the same thing. Even if I have 1 million won, the meaning of that money is different when I sweat to earn that money and that money just happened to come my way. If we seek to get money rather than earning it, then our lives will be ruined. Apostle Paul says that he learned the secret of being content whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. From the worldly perspective, instances as when Apostle Paul enjoyed being full or living in plenty are almost never mentioned in the Bible. Paul lost every privilege he could have enjoyed in his family in Judaic religious establishment after he met Jesus on the way to Damascus. But his hunger and poverty are mentioned in many places in the Bible. The representative passage is 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 27. Are they servants of Christ? I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and have been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. You can accept hunger or poverty with thanksgiving on one or two occasions. But it is not easy to accept hunger or poverty which are repeated. To Apostle Paul, hardship, imprisonment, nearing death were things that followed him around constantly. God decreed that when an Israelite committed a crime that deserves flogging, the person could be flogged only up to 40 times. But there were times when one couldn't be sure of the counting. So the flogging was done only up to 39 times. This was to make sure that you didn't flog more than 40 times by a mistake. Therefore, being flogged 39 times was the maximum number of beating that you could receive. Paul says that he received this kind of beating 5 times. At Lystra, he was stoned so harshly that Jews thought he was dead and threw him away. There were so many times that he had to go without sleep. He was thirsty, hungry, and was poorly clothed. This was his poverty. Apostle Paul says that he was able to overcome his plenty or his poverty because he learned the secret. In Greek, this word is mueo, and was used to describe how secret knowledge was handed down when one joined a mystic religion during the ancient time. The origin of the word comes from the word that meant closing one's mouth. A famous chef does not teach how to make that special flavor in dishes to everybody, and a master craftsman does not teach a special way to everyone, but only to their best students. This is the way whenever Apostle Paul experienced abundance or deficiency, the Lord whispered to Apostle Paul, "Paul, I know how hard it is, but would you live for the gospel, for me? I will be with you." This is the secret that Paul learned. Are you in plenty or being well fed? Then let us not allow ourselves to fall into arrogance, going beyond sufficiency. Let's focus on the Lord who gave them to us rather than on being in plenty and being well fed. The Lord will say this: being in plenty and being well fed are temporary things, but being with me is eternal abundance. Being full for eternity. Are you in deficiencies or are in hungry? Let us not blame the Lord and the world because of that, but hold on to the Lord because of that. Isn't it true that when we look back, we had prayed so hard for being in plenty and well fed? But what really made us to hold onto the Lord were us being in want and being hungry. Being in want and being hungry are the best instruments for us to experience contentment in the Lord. When we do not focus on either being in plenty and being full, or being in want and being hungry, but focus only on the Lord, we will become the people of the Lord who have learned to be content, learned all the secrets. Let us pray. Father God, Jesus said that he had come to earth to live abundant lives, but God, we often understand that abundance to mean material things, things of the world. So we had often asked for a lot of material and worldly things in the past. However, we cannot but confess that the things that really made our spirits and faith abundant and meaningful were in most cases the lack in material possessions, experiencing want in the world. If there is plenty and being full in our lives now, rather than focusing on them, help us to rightly understand where they came from and thereby become children who learn to have a life of contentment and its secret. Even if there are lack and hunger in our lives, help us not to suffer from low self-esteem because of it, but by correctly understanding that they are the pathway for us to only regard the Lord, allow us to become Christians who have learned the life of contentment and its secret. May all of us, like Paul, learn the secrets of being in want and being in plenty, and become the Paul of this age who live with the knowledge of such secret. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.